Hi, I'm Irma Minerva at the University Libraries at UNCG, and this is your podcast of the week.
The University Libraries Undergraduate Research Award is given in recognition of an outstanding UNCG undergraduate research project by an individual or a group that best demonstrates the ability to locate, select, and synthesize information from library resources and uses those resources in creation of an original research project in any media. The winning entry receives a cash prize of $500 funded by the University Libraries. This year, it was awarded on April 8, 2011, at the Undergraduate Honors Convocation. Students interested in submitting their work will need to be enrolled as full-time undergraduates during spring 2011. At UNCG, in any discipline, must have completed a research project for a credit course or supervised independent study at UNCG during fall, spring, or summer semesters in 2010. So, what does it take to win a University Libraries Undergraduate Research Award? Well, let's chat with this year's winner, Sonia Haga. Sonia, tell us a little bit about the paper you wrote that was entitled A Comparative Study of the Perceptions of German POWs in North Carolina for your senior honors thesis under Jeff Jones, correct?
Yes. I started out by looking at German POWs in general because so many... That's German POWs that were held in the United States during World War II because so few people were aware that they were here. Most people thought they were totally in the European theater. Mm-hmm. And the research showed that there were two different schools of thought on how POWs were perceived in the United States. One shows that because all of our able-bodied men were deployed overseas, they became adopted sons, even sex symbols, because of the media's pushing and promoting of the Superman, the Aryan Superman. And the other school of thought, which I used for the Superman school of thought, that came from Matthias Rice in his Bronze Bodies article. Robert Billinger Jr., who I believe is still head of the history department at Wingate University, wrote Nazi POWs in the Tar Heel State. And his is more of a matter-of-fact account. They were here, yes, but they were not media sensations or darlings like Rice had posited it, that they were not that well talked about, mm-hmm. since the military had really tight control over what was getting into the papers. Remember, loose lips sink ships? Mm-hmm. So they wanted to keep everything as quiet as they could. What I did, since there were these two conflicting ideas, was research newspapers from North Carolina, since you know, you always hear from your professors, keep it focused. Mm-hmm. So I focused on North Carolina research newspapers and used that to develop a comparative of how people really felt. Wanted to get that idea, what was being published in the newspapers. Interviewed people who had came in contact with German POWs during that time to see what their experiences were, what they thought. And tried to place that on that continuum, mm-hmm. to determine, well, were they sex symbols or were they really feared and hated?
Wow. What interested you in the first place to look into this topic or this idea?
World War II and the Cold War are my areas of strong interest. Like I said earlier, so few people were aware that they were even here, and people are really surprised to this day to hear that we had 18 camps in North Carolina. They were treating TB patients in Asheville. They were at Chapel Hill Hospital. They were groundskeepers, maintenance, janitors within the hospital there. They were helping with tobacco in Winston-Salem. So many people are totally unaware, so that was kind of bringing part of North Carolina history that is so overlooked to the people's perspective.
Definitely, definitely. It's fascinating. It's, yeah, something I had not known about at all either. So it seems like you use the libraries a lot for mm-hmm. doing your research. Can you talk to me a little bit about the resources or what areas of the libraries and archives that you use?
Linda Kellum was an invaluable resource because she was able to help me locate newspapers that, you know, as you know, newspapers go through ownership changes, name changes. She was able to help me trace back newspapers from the three main regions that I studied in North Carolina and find the microfilm, and then the interlibrary loan, where they were able to pull in newspapers that we didn't have here. And I spent untold hours in here going through microfilm day by day. It took me about an hour and 10 minutes to go through 1 month. Oh. And I went through a couple of years.
Microfilm is not fun.
So those two departments were really invaluable. And Stephen Dew, the history librarian, he really helped in the beginning to get the project jump started. You know, check this out. This was when I was trying to figure out which aspect I was going to focus on. And he was giving me sources, you know, look at this, look at this, look at this. And that really helped to focus it.
Great. It must have been really interesting to interview those POWs. And I see you have a couple of those oral history transcripts in with your research. Can you tell me a little bit about that process?
Mm-hmm. The people I interviewed were not actually POWs. They were people who had come in contact with them. What I did was try to see how many people were aware of this in the 1940s. And one of the people that I interviewed, Mrs. Stallings, had no clue. And she was working as a home demonstration agent in the midst of four different camps and did not have the slightest clue that she was amid so many German POWs. But she did admit that she was more interested in going to the USO to dance with the naval officers, the USO club. And that's really interesting, the other perspectives that come out, the other experiences, and I tried to collect that in those interviews in case somebody down the road is wanting to learn about the blackouts, because she talks about those. She talks about gas rationing, how they rationed food, and how her job was to help with teaching homemakers how to make do with what they had. So I tried to encompass everything that I could in these oral histories, pull not only the POWs, but try to think, what do they know that somebody down the road may be researching, and get that in here before they're gone, because we're losing, I think, 1,000 a day of that generation. But then I had one, Mrs. Wildman, who was a nurse's aide volunteer for the Red Cross in Wilmington, and she was in charge of sponge bathing the German POWs held there. Wow. So it goes from, oh, I had no clue, to, oh, I sponge bathed them.
Wow. Yeah, you really pulled together like the culture of what was happening at that time. It's just fascinating. Definitely great for North Carolina history. And there seems like there could be more research beyond this. So, well, first of all, have you gotten other responses to this paper or other publicity for your research?
Yes, actually, I have been accepted as, right now we're supposed to call ourselves George Marshall Foundation Marshall Undergraduate Scholar Candidates, because we've been working on this since August. Our papers are turned in May. They then go through a validation phase to make sure that we attended every meeting, that the page length is there, you know, all of our requirements are met. Then we can actually call ourselves Marshall Undergraduate Scholars. And the best paper there receives a $500 scholarship. In addition to that, I believe that the paper was crucial in getting me accepted into a master's program. So I have been accepted to the University of North Carolina at Greensboro for the fall in the American History program.
Great. So you can maybe continue researching this area in your graduate work.
Yes, I've received encouragement from both my home advisor and the JMU advisor for the Marshall Foundation to definitely continue this through to the PhD thesis level.
Wonderful. Yeah, it sounds like a great topic that you hit on, and you're enjoying it too as well. So congratulations on all that. I guess my last question to you is, do you have any advice for other students who might be doing some research and thinking about submitting their work for this award?
Don't limit yourself. Try to do something that no one else has done, and whatever you do, do the best that you can. Try to set something that you think may be impossible. Aim for that goal, and it's still going to be greater than you would have originally thought.
You never know what can come out of that, yeah. Definitely. So, well, I really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to me a little bit today, and for any of those of you listening to this, check out Sonia's research, which will be eventually in our repository, as well as a link off of our webpage. So thank you, Sonia.
Thank you.